This morning we're going to talk about fighting a good fight. We hear a certain passage, and we'll get to it here in a little bit, that we hear a lot about. A lot of people use it. I'm going to use it today. But I think in pictures. I don't know if y'all do or not, but I know I do. And when I hear certain things, when I heard this, I think of a certain picture. And so I've got, for lack of a better way to say this, this is a very illustrated lesson. I'm not super big on a lot of pictures and PowerPoint and stuff. You probably think I am, but if you have a limit like I do communicating ideas, pictures help. So we're going to try to do that. If you would, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Start reading there in verse 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So I really want to concentrate today on that first part, is I have fought a good fight. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So there it is again, fight the good fight of faith. When I think about that term, fight the good fight, I think about boxing. And I don't know why. I'm not super familiar with it. I've watched a lot of it in my life. I'm not a boxer. So I have no excuse for how I look. If I did box, I would probably lose. But anyway, that's a whole other deal. We can fight a good fight and lose. And that's something that dawned on me recently when this passage was read in our hearing in this audience. Because when I watch these boxing matches and stuff, generally, after you see this, he fought a good fight, there's always the but. He let his guard down that one time. He didn't use his jab enough. Whatever it is, he fought a good fight. But generally when you hear that, they lost. So we can fight a good fight and lose. And think, well, is that... Hopefully we'll get through some pictures and stuff, get you to understand that. Let's turn to Ephesians 6, start reading there in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, we have the formula and the example that we need to win the fight. Some of you may be familiar with this picture. I think you can see it pretty well, but Muhammad Ali, they came, was basically the greatest fighter of all time. And the reason he was because he was given some talent, God-given ability, I guess, but he had the fundamentals down, and he recognized his opponent, and he would break those opponents down, and he understood how to be victorious there. See, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we recognize that we have an opponent. I want to tell you, the older I get and the longer I live, the more I realize that this is a very powerful opponent. A relentless opponent that never gives up. It don't matter how old you get. It don't matter how strong you get. The devil's good at what he does. And he's always looking for a weakness. Ian prayed, led our minds this morning, and he said, help us to be vigilant. To recognize the devil, what he's trying to do to us. And that's part of what a boxer might do. When he has an opponent, you have to recognize who you're fighting. It's very important. Now, I'm not a boxer, but I can tell you that this is a fundamental picture, and there's just look at all the different points that are happening here to be fundamentally sound as a boxer. You've got to start with a base, and you've got to have your arms just right and your hands just right, and those things not only allow you to defend yourself, but also to take the offensive and actually win the battle. See, so you must start with a good foundation to succeed in this fight. 1 Corinthians 15, starting there in verse 53, it says, "For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So you see, Jesus has fought this battle and won. He tangled with Satan and defeated him. He's the only one that can help us do that. He's the one that's done it before. He knows how to train us and guide us in that. For lack of a better way to say this, in my boxing analogy, Jesus is going to be our corner man. He's going to be our trainer. Because he knows. And when you're going to fight a fight, you have to pick that person that you trust, that has the knowledge and identifies the things that you can do to the other opponent to win the fight. Fundamentals are not just one thing. You know, I was talking to a guy that works with me, and he said, "You know, if you confess, you'll be saved." I said, "Whoa, that's part of it for sure." And I start thinking about that. You know, fundamentals are a package of things. There's not just one fundamental that automatically saves us, that automatically gives us the victory. You would, let's turn to Acts 2, start there in verse 36. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So, as you live your life, you hear the gospel. You hear about Jesus. At that point, you should realize that you're in a battle that you're losing. You're getting hurt, and you're lost. Hopefully, at that point, you're pricked in your heart, just like these people were. I mean, what do I do? And so you seek out the advice of the only man that ever walked that defeated Satan, Jesus Christ himself. You seek out his word and you accept him as your corner man, as your advisor. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life." Okay, we've heard this a lot in our lives. You know, if you'll just believe, you'll be saved. Let's take it back to boxing just a little bit. If I go out in the ring in the first round, and I have my feet right, I've got that base, just like we saw the picture of, the devil is going to beat me senseless. I'm going to stumble back to my corner, and I'm going to say, "But I had my feet right. I believed." And Jesus will say, "But look, you have to confess also. You have to hear that word. You've got to put together the whole package, because the devil seeks out any little crack in your armor, any crack in your defense. He's good. He's a professional, and he'll beat you up." Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Acts 3:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Fundamentals are a package. It takes every single thing. I do, that should be Acts 2:38, shouldn't it? Okay. Let's correct that. Don't think in pictures like me. Don't let that burn in there. If you lack anything, and the world will tell you, in other words, you've got the wrong corner, man. You can do just this, and you'll be all right. The devil's too powerful for you to lack anything. Do everything that Jesus would have us to do. You know, I hear a lot about, well, I believed, and I'm saved. Well, you can also, well, I confessed, I asked Jesus into my heart, I'm saved. All those things are essential for sure. Well, I was baptized. I don't need to be baptized for remission. Well, you do need to be baptized for remission of your sins. You know why? Because that's one of the fundamentals that you cannot succeed without. There's only one corner man that's ever defeated Satan, and he said that that's essential. If you put the wrong people in your corner and they advise you to do things or not to do things that are essential, you will lose. There's no room for error. Well, you may feel like everything's going great. Ooh. Things aren't going so good. You know, that's another thing about boxing. I don't know if any of you have ever been knocked out before. I've not been knocked out by a punch. But I understand by watching TV and watching boxing that when you get hit in the head and you get knocked out, you don't feel it. In other words, you didn't have a clue. I had a wreck one time and I pulled out in front of a 3/4-ton pickup and he hit me in my door. I remember a sound like a pop. Other than that, it never hurt. I was knocked smooth out. I don't have a clue. Well, you know, if you lack the fundamentals and you don't have your guard up, you don't have your feet right, you're not jabbing, whatever, and the devil's hitting you in the head, you're going down and you don't even know. That's why Jesus is in your corner and you go back to the corner and say, I'm doing pretty good. And he says, no, you're not. You don't have your hands up. The devil's hitting you in the head. You don't even know you're lost. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have preaching. That's why we have people around us to say, look, the devil is winning this thing. You need to get this right. And we do that because of concern and for love for each other. It's important. See, if you lack even one fundamental, the devil will exploit that. First Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, I kind of equate this with the middle rounds of the fight. After you've kind of got your fundamentals down and you're fighting, remember the devil's relentless. He's got endurance. And you're working. You're doing what you're supposed to. You're doing what you're supposed to as far as the fundamentals go. But you kind of get a little lazy with it. Because you've been working at it. You've been doing it for a while. To relate that to our Christian life, let's say you're 47 years old and you've been a Christian for 30 years, better than 30 years, or you're 70, you've been a Christian for better than 50 years or whatever. And you just relax just a little bit. It says, take heed. But then, let's keep going here. In 2 Peter 1, starting there in verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So here's the contrast. You're in the middle rounds of your fight, and you let your guard down just a little bit. You forget to move your feet. You forget that jab, whatever it is. You have to be diligent to keep growing as a Christian, to keep maturing, to develop that skill. Because if you don't, the devil is relentless. We have to add these things. You know, a mature, skilled fighter has all of these things. And they win fights. These skills are not just heard about or learned. They're practice skills. They're honed by practice and use. You see, we can sit there with just the fundamentals. And I'm afraid this may be more of me than I want to admit. We kind of just sit there with our guard up in the corner with no offense. The devil loves that. He'll pick you apart. You can keep your hands up and he'll hit you in the body. You cannot move, but if the truth is you have to go on the offensive too. To win the fight, you have to be offensive minded in a smart way. A good and careful defense alone will not win the fight. It's not just about fundamentals. It's about developing those skills and then using them. See, we should have a jab. And I want to say today that our jab is prayer. Because the jab is something that's offensive, that keeps the devil off balance and keeps us able to move to the next step, of throwing a harder punch, throwing a bigger punch to win the battle. That prayer is always there. It says, Romans 12 and verse 12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, prayer alone will not win the fight either. We've got to build on the fundamentals. Like I said, we've got to train ourselves and develop those skills and throw some big punches because the devil is a major opponent. And Jesus knows which punches to throw, and he can advise us in those things, and he tells us. John 6 and verse 68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He's the only corner man that can get you there. There's nobody else. And he knows, and we read, how to accomplish the victory. John 15 and verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You see, we have to go on the offensive too. We can't just sit there with our guard up. There's things we must do to defeat Satan. We go, we do. Matthew 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So you see, he's with us all the time. He's in our corner. We need to surround ourselves with good corner people, don't we? Cut men, trainers, whatever. And that's what kind of this whole congregation, communion, fellowship, that's all about that. Giving us the strength and encouragement to go fight the good fight. You can't fight it without help. You've got to have sparring partners. You've got to have film people. You've got to have promoters. You got to have everybody in your corner to help push you out there and keep you going. Because, folks, sometimes you get weary. Sometimes the devil's getting the better of you. And you go back to your corner defeated. And you need somebody to help you up and say, look, here's how we're going to win this deal. Let's go fight. We can have the victory. This guy did. I mean, it's... we can knock Satan out. Jesus has done it. He can tell us how to do it. Romans 8 and verse 31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So in closing, I want to go back to the verse we started with. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. One thing I noticed about this first verse 7 here is, this is all about action. This is not a passive thing at all. This is not somebody just sitting there in the corner with their hands up. This somebody's fighting. They're actually taking the battle to him. Right? Do you see the action there? We can't be intimidated to the point that we cower in the corner because there's no victory in it. He says, because of the action, because I took the battle to him, and I followed the advice and the example of Jesus, I have the victory. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So there's a promise made here. If we do that, if we have the fundamentals, if we go on the offensive and do what Jesus says, we all have that reward. We have the formula to do that. That is the lesson I have for you today. Hope that something I said is beneficial. I hope that it motivates us in some way to live a better life in the future than we have in the past. We have spoke on some of the first principles today. That you have to have the fundamentals. If you don't have the fundamentals, you're not even in the fight. If you'd like to get started and have the victory, then today's the day to do that.